Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. I'm Pastor DJ Lura, and with me, as always, is Amy Okeson, Dana Mashevsky, and Sarah DeYoung.
Ooh.
Wow, that was so good.
Saying, don't tell Ryan.
Yeah, we're so on top. It's so smooth. We're
Ryan
on top of it.
So you said right beforehand, do you even need music? If I had to do a cold open, there's no way I would have done that. The music set the stage for the whole thing.
I don't want to like show people how like the sausage is made behind the scenes, but Ryan lately has been having us go without music, and that it just feels weird. Like
it's like nothing
and now
started.
We're talking, but on mics.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And when did we start talking?
Like, who knows?
Like,
and he's the professional, so I guess it's just old hat for him. But anyway, Amy, we're so glad you are here.
Hey, it's
finally
fun.
some class and some expertise in this group.
Yeah,
you're setting the bar kind of high there.
Well, you are sitting.
Amy, you're assuming that the bar was not on the ground to begin with.
Well, you know, it's Ryan, so.
Yes.
Realistically, we just dig up the hole and put the bar down in there.
Yeah. Poor man. We throw him under the bus.
It's fine. Well, so what's going on, Amy? Give us some update of all the things.
All the things.
That you have been up to.
Yeah.
Been some really
well,
cool stuff.
You guys, and I know we've talked about it a lot. You know, 2024 Fargo Pack, 10 million meals in 10 days was amazing. 9.7 million meals. And after that, we all needed a bit of a break. So it's been catching up because it was Lent and it was Easter and we celebrated. And for those that don't know, that's my job is twofold, right? I have the privilege of being the executive director for Fargo Pack, and I have the privilege of being the director of serving ministry here at Atonement. So working with volunteers, and when it's a holiday and Holy Week, and I think we counted, 12 services and events in a week's time then? Yeah. That was amazing. And Easter is my favorite time of year here. I love it more than Christmas even. It always has been my favorite thing. So we rolled right into Lent and into the celebration of Easter and Holy Week. So that was a lot of fun. And then it was just finally, we all realized, hey, we needed a little rest.
Yeah.
So a bunch of us, Dana included, got to go on a trip to the Dominican Republic with Feed My Starving Children. It's called a food and action trip. And we spent 5 days. It was very fast. I say a week, but it was very fast. 5 days in and around Santo Domingo visiting, gosh, what was it, Dana? 7 maybe different partners? Six or seven different.
It's like 2 a day. So
yeah, Feed My Starving Children partners for a week. And Pastor Mark and Dana and I and Seth Morkin and Dave Gunligson, our big Dave, you know, Tropical Dave, we called him when we were there, and some other FMSC friends all got to go along, and it was great, and it was rejuvenating to get to be there and see and be reminded of why we do what we do and so that cool. The need doesn't go away, but it was fun to see places where the food is making a huge difference, where it's been being used for years, and to see healthy kids, healthy and happy kids, where knowing that they're getting a nutritious meal every day, that they don't look at you with like sunken and lost eyes, that these are healthy kids.
Yeah.
And that's the difference that this food makes. When we put, you know, something, oh, it's fun to pack, or, oh, you're asking me for money again. It's like, no, it makes a difference in these kids right there. When we say it turns hunger into hope, it does.
Yep.
Because now they're healthy, they're able to go to school, they're able to learn, they're learning about Jesus, and they're going to grow up and be healthy, happy adults that are able to make differences and make changes in their home where they love and where they want to make things better. So it was just really amazing to see that. So it's been fun, and that's just a little bit about what's going on.
Okay, so it's so, this is so good. So last time that we podcasted, we asked the same question to Dana, and that response from Dana was, it was good.
I don't know why any of you are surprised by any of this.
You're going to go back next time?
Shouldn't be surprised that I don't be quiet either, that like I will go on for 10 minutes. Yeah.
Well, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, you know what? It just dawned on me. I kind of feel like I'm sitting with professional athletes, because all three of you had the, like, glammed out vests at Feed My Starving Children, and you're all part of the, like record-setting packing team, the table that has the record for the, you know, you had the
tell us about it, Sarah.
You had the Babe Ruth of packing with us, Dorothy, who's not here right now, but, I mean, you guys are like the rest of the, you know, Yankees.
I will say, as little as Dana has said about her trip, so last week for my day job, we had our Building Connections event, and Dana got to come and talk to some of like my coworkers and things like that. And Atonement last year partnered with Nexus Path Family Healing to provide Christmas gifts for our community based. And then in that, we started talking about FMSC, and Dana did a wonderful job selling FMSC.
Right on.
You did a great job.
No.
And we also got to talk about.
I was like, okay, talk, Sarah.
You started it up though. And we also got to talk about our totally awesome packing group led by Dorothy Green.
Yeah. Who
is a rock star.
Yes.
Who is efficient.
Is to the extremely cool in like, she one hand bags, she keeps you on pace, and it's just really
she's
cool.
Also just ruthless of like, you're not cutting it. I need
you're
someone
else.
You gotta go. You're out.
Go. Yep.
No, like, I don't, you can't scoop. You gotta go. Yep. And keep in mind, this is an elder of our congregation.
That's right.
Yes.
But it's business time.
I want to grow up and be like Dorothy Green. Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's so funny because I love to tell this story about Bryn, who one of the times she was packing, she's like, oh, my back just hurts. I don't know if I can do this. And I had to very sweetly be like, Bryn, I need you to look around you. You're being lapped. You are a high school athlete.
Yes.
Being lapped by a bunch of like elderly women who are putting you to shame. Like, grow up to be like them. Let's go, girl.
But it was awesome because Dorothy and David, it's like contagious to want to pack with them
because
they're just like here. And so we started like setting up her table, and then everybody wanted to join this team. And it was great. Well, like record setting, most bags packed at a station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even the hospitality ladies too, I feel like are unsung heroes, and they are just as quick, I would say, as
they're kind of ruthless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they know that Dorothy was doing it
like one handed, and they're like, the two of us have to do this as good as she is. Yep. Like, there is no excuse. And they kept pace, which means that the rest of us to keep things.
Yep.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Some of those high school kids that were with us, they had like dazed looks in their faces. They were like panicked. Am I keeping up fast enough? It was funny.
Let's go. Don't stop to think. Yep. Just move.
So what happened to like the pink and purple glammed out vest?
I got yelled at.
I think they should be framed and hung up somewhere.
I thought you were talking about why they existed.
Yeah. Why'd you get yelled at? Who yelled at you?
Because of the forklifts. I like was going from one section to go take a photo, like photos in another section, and I like cut across a forklift, and they yelled at me.
Oh!
So then I got the safety vest to be like, I belong on the floor.
Oh, I see
you can't
what you're
yell
saying.
At me.
Why you got the safety
vest?
She
needed
I see.
To be a special media vest.
Because
and so then we're like,
everybody else was like on the team was wearing a vest of some sort. So
and it
was
also
just like,
the heart
this girl
of
is walking across this. She shouldn't be doing that. So then I was like,
and it's also the heart of like the other vest had colors. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't really answer your questions.
Don't ask me questions.
I appreciate that the three of you had a different colored vest because it made you much easier to see on the floor. You know, even with like hundreds of people on the floor, thousands of people on the floor, you could pinpoint if you just look. It was like Where's Waldo? The real life game.
Yeah. But they're really 2, obvious.
2,000 people on the floor.
Like, what color vest is Amy wearing today?
Right.
I did have multiple colored vests. Yep. And then when y'all got the colors you needed to stand out, and then I'm like, well, if we're getting more, I want a purple one.
Yes. Yep. I love that you got your own color.
I decided I wanted
color.
Purple because I was like, I need a color that assumes that I belong on the floor, but I know no answers. So what color is that?
Well, it was good that you guys had different colored vests because there was more than one time that Mark was like, do you know where Amy is? I'm like, let me just go up. And I'd go up top and be looking around. I'm like, oh, she's in quadrant 6 and going over to quadrant 4 right now. She's on
the
move. She's on the move. Yeah. Here, bring her this radio. Yeah, got it. All right. Off we go.
Yep. Yeah, because that's just that we were talking. No, you know, we weren't talking too much or anything. We would kill the batteries on the radio.
No, not at all.
No, that never happens. But it was tons and tons of fun, and we're preparing for 2025, and we continue to finish off paying that grocery bill for 2024. So this is where sometimes it's confusing. We're under a $50,000 match right now, where we're talking about FMSC for a little bit, for Fargo Pack to finish off paying that bill for 2024. We've got about $200,000 left to pay on that. We've got $50,000 of it that's under a match, so we're working. We really want to wrap that up by the end of June, so keep praying for us. Keep spreading the word that we're trying to finish paying off what we owe for that 9.7 million meals.
So for 9.7 million meals, there's only 200,000 that is left to be paid.
Yep.
So just a handful of people that just have it on their heart to say, I want to finish this strong. You can be the one to close out that monumental historic year. It's still an opportunity for people to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. You can come in and be the hero and be like, let's get this taken care of. Let's finish the last mile, because then we want to get started and running fast at 2025.
Yep.
And we will pack as many as we are able to raise money for. There's no lid on it. So whatever we can pay for, we are going to pack. So we will set out then in July, or as soon as 2024 is paid off. If it's paid off tomorrow, we will start in on 2025.
So cool. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm getting pumped.
It's exciting. And I would love to. And yeah, people ask, are you going to do $10 million again? That was a special thing. No. Okay. Yeah. That took a monumental. Mm-hmm.
Herculean
truly
effort.
Mountaintop type of work on everybody's part, on FMSC's part, on the Fargo PAC part, on the Fargo Dome coming along. It was a huge, huge, huge endeavor in our community. And that was fun. And that's fun to do on occasion, but that's not a sustainable pace for anybody.
Right.
And so what we're going to pack, we will see. But yeah. It'll be a more realistic number, you know, and that we packed 2.5, 3, something like that. It might be in that range. It might be more. It's whatever God has in store for us to be able to, we need to provide and pack. So, you know, 29 cents a meal, every bit we raise, we will pack meals.
Well, and I love that you, the way you speak about that, that it's not so much you guys pick a number and then it's like, well, I hope we reach it. It really is a Holy Spirit goose pimple type process that brought around for $10 million at that time, building up to it. And it was kind of like, what, are we nuts? There's no way that's going to work. But even aiming for that number, everything that came together during that week and where we ended up was all Holy Spirit driven.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right? Completely. Ended at 3:16 p.m., John 3:16. And that's why we did it, to His glory. And ultimately, that's why, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And that's what we want. For every person who gets this food, or every person whose spirit is filled by packing, that they would know Jesus and have eternal life, know the love and the hope that we provide through this food, and through that, knowing that we see them, that we're not just ignoring that they're hungry and naked and have nowhere to live, that we are helping them, and through that we pray that they will come to know the Lord as well and truly have eternal life along with the physical life that we're helping provide now.
Amen. Well, and so I think the Holy Spirit's always kind of good about putting a little cherry on top to be like, that was me. Just so you know, that was me. When you guys went on the DR trip, wasn't there a connection with John 3:16 on the DR trip?
What day?
Okay, a lot of cherries on top.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was almost.
Oh, great. Is she going to cry?
No, but I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting you to ask me about that, but you did. I have a sign in my office. The day we went to visit Happiness Now. And Dana's asking if I'm going to cry. But every day, it happened multiple times. Those that know, those that are listening in that don't know that I am a crier.
It's good for the podcast.
It's good for the soul.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Because it's emotional, because it's God. It's God working and moving, and you can see. And we've been talking about Holy Spirit, and Pentecost Sunday is about to come up here. We're recording this. We're giving away probably when we're recording this.
Yep.
But that's okay. We do it all the time.
We've been talking about Acts, right? For months, we've been studying in Acts. And feed my serving children, feed kids hungry in body and spirit. We stopped at 3:16, and we go on this trip. And every time we pray, I always pray, anytime we go on a mission trip, when our youth go on a mission trip, that we would see the people that we're serving. That not just look, but we would see them, that God would reveal Himself. And I never know what to expect. And this time he revealed Himself by John 3:16 coming up repeatedly every day. And not just like within our team of folks from the U.S. that were along, but in these different places where we were going. Mm-hmm. And it happened in a church when we went out to visit in one of the bateaux that we were going along and bringing food, delivering food. And they brought us in. The pastor was there and sat us down, and Andy asked, and we were just going to visit before we distributed the food to the families and to the kids. And we go and you just pray with them and interact with them and you support them and you support the pastors that are there serving, and just for the communities to know that we love them and care about them. And if they understand enough, they understand, hey, these folks help make this food for you. But in this instance, the pastor was there, and Andy Carr, Vice President of Marketing for FMSC, was along, and he asked, Pastor, you got anything to share with us? And the translator translated, and he starts preaching a little sermon on John 3:16. And he was speaking, I don't know if he was speaking Creole or Spanish, but I caught enough of it before they translated. And I'm just sitting there, Pastor Mark's sitting behind me. I'm like, he's talking about John 3:16. And I don't know, but I remember if that was the first time or the second time it happened in the week.
That was the first time. That was the first day.
That sounds a little bit like Pentecost. Someone's speaking in tongues and you're hearing the gospel.
And I'm just like, okay, God. Okay, I got it. You're sitting in this, and to paint this scene, we pulled in, you know, down this gravel road, our amazing bus driver turning every which way. You know, there's animals running around, and this isn't a bate. This is near the sugarcane field. They're pulling the sugarcane cart where they've cut it by hand down the road. These were manual labor for very little money, okay? Mm-hmm. These are sugarcane plantations where these people live for minimal amounts of money. And this church is wood frame with tin over it, and they have built little wood benches in it, and it's crammed. It is, like, smaller than this. Those of you that worship here at Atonement and have seen the studio where we do pre-show at, and that's where we're recording the podcast. The church was smaller than this room we're in right now.
Wow.
So I don't know how to, smaller than one of our Sunday school rooms
here
at the church. That was their whole church. And he's standing there, you know, barely further than I am from you, maybe 4 or 5 feet front, you know, away from me, mm-hmm. pastoring these people in this very harsh environment. And he starts preaching about John 3:16.
It was hot too.
And it was hot sitting in there. It was warm. Mm-hmm. And Mark's tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm like, I know, Mark, I know.
hey,
are you listening?
Hey.
And
I don't see him doing that.
And I got to talk to him about it and show him that I have it, you know, on my arm. And it was just this moment, even though we didn't speak the same language, he understood what I was expressing to him. And that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to talk about what happened at Happiness Now with the little sign?
So then at Happiness Now, they do a little, like, show for visitors, and that's, like, what they like to do, and they prepare it. And I don't remember.
Singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing and just, you know, kids, showing us kids what they can mm-hmm. do and how much fun they're having. And I don't remember who had it first, but they were, like, just, were they reciting the verses?
They were reciting Bible verses.
Some kids, like, there was probably five of them, just had a sign with the verse that they were going to say, and they just said it, and one of them just happened to be
John 3:16.
Yep.
So it was again. So then we brought that. We got to bring that sign home.
Yep.
And then, I know what it was. And then on another day, it was in the devotion we did as a team, mm-hmm. like on that last day.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was. And there it was, John 3:16, right in that devotion on that very last day, too, mm-hmm. that we would do every morning before we went out to visit people. It just kept coming up over and over. So we talk about Holy Spirit moments and how he just keeps, I'm here,
yeah.
I'm here,
yeah.
I'm here. You know, it's thick. You feel it. You know, we felt it in that room when we packed. We feel it when we pray, and he reveals himself if you quiet yourself and slow down enough to hear it, to listen.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, I've said before that, you know, you could just look at that and be like, well, that's just a coincidence. I mean, John 3:16 is a very common scripture. In some ways, yes. In other ways, no. And, you know, when you experience God working, after a while, coincidences start to be like, man, this just keeps happening over and over and over again. It comes down to context. So I've given up believing in coincidence, because I also don't believe that you can go back and change things.
Yeah.
Like, that's just hindsight bias to look back and say, well, that's just a coincidence. Really? Okay, fine. You see God working. And for the believer, for a person of faith, when you see God just giving you these little nudges, when it encourages faith, then you know it's something holy and sacred and special. It may not seem that way to the rest of the world, but it seems that way to the believer. And so you guys,
back to him.
Yes. And so you guys experience something that you could look back and say, well, that was a sacred moment. That's right. Something I can treasure and be built up by. And the story just gives me goose pimples. So there we go. Holy Spirit, goose pimples.
Man, you have to come next time.
Hey, okay. Done. Sounds good. So what else has been going on?
What else?
As if that's not enough.
Well, you know, life, you know, you get to be a mom too, right? You know, when we're kids, we talk about the other things we do, other activities. I get to be a mom. DJ's a dad, and Ryan talks about his kids, you know, life things. And so that's also, it was dance season. My daughter was busy, and my son's home from college now after his freshman year of college. So all of those things, but we're excited just for summer to happen. We are having kickoffs and Thunder Roads and things like that, and VBS, and so what else?
So much. I love how Amy will go and point to everybody. It's very Scandinavian and Midwestern of you to point to everyone else. I'd like to lift up, if you don't know this, Amy Okinson was nominated for Woman of the Year. North, and she's like, oh, I already forgot about it.
I knew where he was fishing, but
I'm like, did I forgot? They're like,
Dana's figured out how I cast the lure at this point. Can you share a little bit about what that was and what that experience was with the Woman of the Year celebration?
Yeah, well, in our community, the YWCA does a Woman of the Year celebration every year, and women are nominated. And this year there were 39 women in organization. And thanks to these other two lovely, amazing women that are sitting at this table with us, Sarah and Dana, who are part of the Feed My Starving Children team and have been my coworkers, and they were gracious enough to nominate me for Woman of the Year in the volunteer engagement category. And so I was one of several women in that category, one of 39, and it was an amazing, wonderful evening. It's a gala for the YWCA, and they honor all of these women. And so everyone gets to stand up, and they talk a little bit about you. And then they have an independent team, independent committee, that chooses the winners in each one. You know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I wasn't one of the winners, but we were a winner. FMSC was a winner, and it was quite an honor to be nominated for this. And I'm just thankful for them, because I know it was a lot of work to do that nomination. Mm-hmm. And a couple of Seth and Dave wrote letters. So thank you guys for honoring me in that way. And it was beautiful, fun evening. And to be there with all of these other amazing women and over, 800-900 people at the event in two different rooms at the Delta. It was electric in that room that night, honoring other women who are doing amazing things in the Fargo-Moorhead and surrounding community. And for FMSC to be raised up there as well, it's just, it's another pointing towards, hey, great things are happening there. Yeah. So
there's
10 years worth of work, you know?
Yeah.
I really got a kick out of two things. One, it's at the Delta. And if anyone, I've shared my story a bit with everybody here, but back in my college days, that was my stomping grounds. I did security at the time it was called the Ramada. And so I know the crystal ball rooms in and out very well where this event was taking place. And when they open it up, it is a gigantic space. Yeah, it's really cool. But the fact that there was 900 women there, and, you know, 40 that were nominated, what I loved about reading the bios is how many of those 40 women, the majority of them, put on their involvement in the community, Feed My Starving Children. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were all
fun to see that.
That was cool. That was and because you look at these successful and prominent women in our community that kind of make Fargo-Moorhead happen, and the vast majority of them said, volunteered at packing meals with Feed My Starving Children.
And one of them even had a picture in there. Yeah. You know, we got to submit pictures, and there was this picture of them serving at the pack. And that was just the impact of what we were trying to do with this 10 million meal event, right?
It was
reach more people in our community. Mm-hmm. And we can talk forever about the value of volunteering and serving. Like, Sarah's like, yep.
But, it's really cool. Like, I like that you brought that up, because one of my favorite things is getting to talk with, like, my coworkers and my friends and things like that who, you know, have come to volunteer and serve at it. And, like, even people that I just know at work who are like, oh, I was there 3 times. I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, oh, yeah, I came with, like, my 4-H club, and then I came with my church group, and then, like, my family and I just went. And it's like, that's so cool, because that's what we were trying to do so much this year, is, like, you can come with all these different groups. Come with your family. Come with your work family, your church family, your family, and come together as a Fargo-Moorhead community and family.
That's just, this is going to sound like an old 70s term. That's electric. Mm-hmm. Like,
Mary.
That's just so cool.
Yeah.
So neat. So
it's also very cool to be like, have the like realization and like the proof that like it matters to them too, instead of them just like doing it to do it or whatnot. Right. It's like, no, they cared enough to list it as a part of something that they do to better their community. Like,
yeah. And I think just seeing even like on the business side of like from the smallest like mom and pop locally owned thing to like, I have a coworker who his wife works for Walmart and their entire work team came out. So like just it is a full spectrum of it feeds into the community feeds into us, and we're just really so beyond blessed.
And that they loved it so much that they came back. That they didn't just
I came
forced
for work.
Fun. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
That. But that's what I mean. Like where it's like, oh yeah, I did that with work, but like we had to do that as our team building. Like for them to be like no, I did this, and I'm proud that I did that, and I enjoyed that I did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my wife works for the city of Fargo, and they were so excited because the HR team all came, and I got to meet them at the door, which was really cool because I got to do a lot of the you know, that was kind of the fun part for me is seeing all these people like wow, look at all these people.
Just and put DJ at the door, let him
Hey, give me something to spin, like a big sign.
We'll get you the arrow that they have
But I got to see them. And then like the week prior to the first day of the pack, so this is a week earlier, I went to like an annual checkup at the dentist, and the dentist started talking to me about, oh yeah, your church does Feed My Starving Children. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're so pumped to go to that. Our receptionist got us signed up and our entire team is going. So as I'm leaving, I'm like, I'll see you at the pack. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yay. Yeah. Holding my jaw.
It's like, hey, how much? Can we equate some of this fee back to the?
Well, and so those were all neat things. But then to get like down to a family level, you know, a lot of we were joking that the Fargo pack at the Fargo Dome, that's now Atonement North during the week leading up to the pack, right? Because you were there all week long. You guys were there all week long. Pastor Mark was there all week long.
I stepped foot in this building.
It was just me and Gail and Margene every once in a while, and that's about it. But you know, there's still people in the hospital, still people sick.
Right.
I'd go and visit this one family. And I went and visited every day because, you know, it was a serious illness. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that they would ask me is, how are things going at the pack? How are things going at the pack? So much so that the Thursday night before the last day is the last time I got to speak to this one person. Right. And he again, in our last conversation together before he passed away, was, how was the pack? And he ended up passing away 24 hours later. His family came. He passed away in the evening, 11 p.m. in the evening, I believe. His family came and packed the next day. And why did they come to pack? Because, one, what better thing to do when, you know, you've had a loss is go and be with people, with believers, doing something that loves on people, and also because it was so important to their loved one.
Right. To rejoice that in why, you know, worshiping who we know our life comes from.
Yeah. It's been, it was something that why we've been in Acts, we've been talking about and pointing to FMSC as just a great example, probably the best example I can think of what living out the commission to be followers of Jesus looks like. Yes. And what a great way to just live out scripture as we're learning it in this season to culminate with FMSC, and that being the beginning of the 2024 year as we've continued through leading up to Pentecost this Sunday with the message of that we're all witnesses to Jesus and that the example of FMSC teaches us how to do that.
Right.
So.
And that, you know, and it's important to note that we've been talking about that next. For those that are listening that don't, we don't do this because we feel like it's going to earn us something, right? We don't get fame and fortune out of this? Yeah.
Well, maybe you will, but most of us, not so much.
We don't do it because it's going to earn our spot in heaven.
Right.
We do it because we know our spot in heaven is secure, and we do this out of love for him. Because he first loved us, we love others.
Yeah.
And being able to share that, you know we have that life.
Right.
We want to share that with someone else. And so when we talk about it, it's because we're excited about it and we want that for you too. Yeah. We don't want this from you. We want it for you,
yep,
and not because we have to, because we get to.
Exactly. It's not, it's, if we ever start talking like this is a have to type thing, then we've lost the plot.
Yep.
Because everything that we want to do comes out of and in response to the hope that we have in the resurrection accomplished through Jesus Christ. And so all of that comes, if I know that the resurrection is real and that I have the hope of the resurrection, then I want to love on my neighbor rather than being in a mentality of scarcity of I need to take and keep everything to myself to survive.
That's right.
Rather, it's an outpouring of love, and it's explosive and spontaneous and electric, and I'm all pumped for 2025. Amy, I'm so
and
glad that's
you
right.
And some of us are taking our, you know, next the 20th, 21st, 22nd, they're having Pack at the Park at the Twins Stadium in Minneapolis. So, hey, if you're listening to us from the Twin Cities area, or you're going to be in the Twin Cities area next week over the whenever this is going to air. But if you're going to be in that, if this airs before,
is Dana going to be there? Not that Dana. You know what Dana I'm talking
Dana.
About.
Dana, the yeah. field,
Minnesota
the manager,
Twins Dana.
Twins Dana. Yep, he's going to be there. And so several of us are going down there to volunteer during it. So we're excited to get to go pack again. So, hey, and or if you hear this after that, It's a good time. You can go pack anytime. You can go to any one of the three permanent sites in the Twin Cities area. You can go on Feed My Starving Children's website and find any of the other mobile packs in the region. Go pack anytime. We love for you to come here, but you don't have to wait just for us. They actually have a challenge out for the summer. Pack 7 times. They're actually like giving, starting in June, they're giving out like little check cards and encouraging people to pack 7 times over the summer because it's one of their slower times. So, hey, if you're in the Twin Cities for a weekend, go pack for 2 hours.
So I don't know if this has crystallized, but I know there was rumors going around by a men's group here that's like wants to go on a road trip this summer and hit all the different pack sites between here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Of course they were.
That's our buddy Craig. I think Craig
I
talked
love
about
that.
This. No.
We are taking Craig's RV
to
the Twin Cities.
I was going
to
ask.
Yes, we're loading
you say
up
that,
in the
I'm
RV.
I'm not surprised. I have another question really quick, because you said Dave went with to the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
So did he have like a blue, white, and black straw hat situation? Because I imagine the beanie would be a little warm.
He had just a normal baseball cap. But oh. I am like, I showed you Tropical Dave.
No, I haven't seen any pictures. I need to. I know they're probably on the Google Drive,
picture.
And I just need to
no,
go
no,
and find
them. My rendering of Dave, my sticker of Dave, I made him tropical version.
Oh,
I wanted him to have a floppy sun hat so bad.
You should have provided the sun hat and the Hawaiian
I
shirt.
I should have.
But no, he was dressed in kind of the usual T-shirt and a baseball cap. But
you're gonna have to print me off one of those stickers because I have Winter Dave on my computer.
Yes, I made
I
a
need tropical Dave. That's great.
We love our buddy Dave. For those that don't know, Dave Gunlickson is our development advisor with FMSC.
And he's been with us for
almost since the beginning. Yeah. I think it was maybe year 3 he came along. And so he has been with us through all of this growth. And he puts up with our crazy. And he's just as crazy as us. So it's a beautiful relationship.
Well, you know what? Anyone have more they want to share about this? Or should we transition to something else?
I don't know.
Good enough.
Thank you for your support.
I already talked about the DR trip. Yeah. So
you covered all this. This is all new. This is all old hat. You know, you covered it so well last time.
There's a beautiful Dana who hates being in front of the camera.
You pay me to be behind it. Why am I in front of it?
Because Dave was sneaky. Speaking of Tropical Dave, he was sneaky. And yeah, there's two beautiful pictures of you with your camera showing little kids the pictures on your camera.
Week.
And it was your smile. It's beautiful. So
he never did put those on the
thing, but I have them.
Oh, you will have to send these my way, and I'll
the only picture I can think of Dana in the DR. The only proof that I have that she's there is because you guys have said so. And one picture of a selfie of Seth and Mark that I think you see like Dana's eyelash or the top of her head or something like that, and that's it.
And my backpack, right?
And her backpack. That's what it is. Yeah,
I have real evidence. We have to make this known.
But I don't know why y'all questioned that
I was
there.
She, we,
yep.
we joke that
you can't just go and ninja your way into the Dominican Republic and ninja out.
I can.
Oh man,
Dana is a true introvert through and through.
For sure.
We had John, the photographer that FMSC hires and cameraman, and so there were two stealthy people sneaking around.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's funny with this? Sorry, we should move on to something else, but. no matter where you are, little kids love electronics and little kids love drones. He was talk about the drone.
Like, it was, I think it was the first day that was really, like, because he, like, disappeared, and we were, you know, didn't really notice that he disappeared. And all of a sudden, you just see these kids. Like, we were, like, playing soccer with them. They were just doing things. They all just go, whoo, and we're like, what is happening? And then the drone goes up, and we're like, oh, John's behind the bus. He hid behind the bus so he could take the drone off without, it, like, kids getting in the way. And they all just, like, flock to it.
Because they could hear it.
Oh, man.
And then he would walk around because, he had the remote, and...
there were plenty of times that the kids wanted to fly, like tried to take it from him. And yes. That was like, I would let them take the camera while I was still attached, but he was definitely like, no.
Yep. This is a very high dollar drone.
Yeah.
One of the nice ones that gets the good pictures.
Yes. But and one of my favorite videos from that whole trip is at the school that we went to, mm-hmm. and he flew the drone because it's just them like tracking this thing through this like courtyard. And they're just, like, losing their minds over this drone. It's my favorite footage.
Oh, that's cool.
But they would, my favorite thing about it, too, is, like, they would follow him like he was the Pied Piper.
Yes.
Oh,
he
sure.
was just walking like with it, watching, and they're just trailing along behind him like little ducks.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter where they are. They love all of
them. And they don't care that, like, there's, like, the language barrier. They just, like, they're like, let me see the drone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, we want to see that. And they would just, yeah.
It's universal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids are kids, no matter where they are, that's whether so they. Cool. So, yeah. That's why we do it.
Get them the food to be kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, yeah, it doesn't matter. Out of everybody, like, they loved Katrina and they love Harrison, but, like, the minute the drone came out, none of us mattered. Gone. We were nothing. We were people. But we had nothing on a drone.
Yep. You're not a transformer. You're,
You're merely a mortal.
Yeah. Mere mortal.
Like, all right. Glad we came.